Face-to-Face Intermediate by Chris Redston and Gilly Cunningham. Published by Cambridge University Press. This recording is copyright. CD 2. Recording 5.1.
So, what do you think?
Well, I think they were much better than the ones we saw yesterday.
Yeah, me too.
What did you think of the terraced house in Eccles?
Well, I thought it was okay.
Mm.
And it's the least expensive place we've seen.
Yes, that's true.
The wooden floors were lovely. And it had a new kitchen.
Yes, the floors were nice, I agree.
Also, it seemed slightly bigger than our house.
No, I think it was the same size as ours. It just seemed bigger because it had less furniture.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, I preferred the detached house, to be honest. You know, the one in Monton. It's one of the oldest houses we've seen so far anyway. And I like older houses. They've got character.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But it's on a very busy road. I'm not sure I want that. It was much noisier than the other two.
Yes, that's true. I noticed that too. That might be a problem, especially at night.
Also, the garden was far smaller than I expected. And it's very similar to this house. We might as well stay here.
Right. So you didn't like any of them?
No. I was quite keen on the flat in Salford. It's not as big as the others, but it felt a lot more spacious.
Yes, it did, didn't it? I thought it was very different from anything else we've seen.
And it had the most amazing view. You know, down the river.
Yes, that was wonderful, wasn't it?
But you prefer the house in Monton, don't you?
Well, I did like the Monton house, yes. Mainly because it had a garden. And you know how much I enjoy gardening. But it's a little further away from the city centre, isn't it?
Yes, it is a bit. But it's within walking distance of a station. That's the important thing.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, I don't want to live in that house in Eccles, though. It's got the worst bathroom I've ever seen.
Oh, I didn't really notice the bathroom. Anyway, the Salford flat's got that big balcony. We can get some plants and sit out there in the evenings.
Mm.
It'll be as good as having a garden, but a lot less work. And it's a bit less expensive than the Monton house.
Yes, maybe. It was nice, wasn't it? Maybe we can look at it again tomorrow.
Sure. I'll call the estate agent now and see if they've got time.
Recording 5.2.
It seems slightly bigger than our house.
It was the same size as ours.
The garden was far smaller than I expected.
And it's very similar to this house.
It's not as big as the others.
It was very different from anything else.
It'll be as good as having a garden.
Recording 5.3.
Oh, right, what's next?
What about this box of toys? The kids are much too old for them now.
Actually, I'm going to give those to my sister. Her kids will probably like them. She's picking them up tomorrow evening after work.
OK, so those go in...
the pile with the books.
Right. And what about all these old letters?
Oh.
I don't know why you've kept them. You'll never read them again.
OK, I'll throw those away.
So, which pile?
Put them next to those old magazines.
Right.
And what shall we do with all these old photos?
Oh, I'm in the middle of going through those.
But we never look at them.
I know. But that's because they're not in order or anything. I'm going to sort out the rest of them at the weekend. Then we can get rid of the ones we don't want.
OK. So we're keeping these for now?
Yes. So, that pile.
Yes, the one with the TV and the pillows. And can we throw out these old records?
Sorry. You're not getting rid of those. I've had them since I was a teenager.
But you'll never listen to them again.
That's not the point. They're probably quite valuable now.
Fine. Put them in the keep pile. Oh, and that old tennis racket. You've got to throw that out.
Actually, I'm going to give that to Ricky next door. His mum asked if I had one. He's going to start taking tennis lessons.
You're joking. That old thing. It's going to break the first time he uses it.
Oh, it's fine for a 10-year-old.
You don't like throwing things out, do you? Right, what's next?
Recording 5.4. 1.
I'm going to finish the report tonight. I'm going to finish the report tonight.
2.
Look, it's going to rain soon. Look, it's going to rain soon.
3.
I'm meeting her after school. I'm meeting her after school.
4.
I'll call you at about 6. I'll call you at about 6.
5.
I think he'll find another job. I think he'll find another job.
6.
What's she doing tonight? What's she doing tonight?
Recording 5.5.
I'm going to finish the report tonight.
Look, it's going to rain soon.
I'm meeting her after school.
I'll call you at about 6.
I think he'll find another job.
What's she doing tonight?
Recording 5.6.
What about this dress? Shall I keep it?
Sorry, but I don't think it's going to fit you anymore.
Okay, I'll throw it away.
And what about your old guitar?
Toby wants that. He's coming to pick it up later.
Right, I'll put it in the giveaway pile.
Do you want to keep your old running shoes?
Yes, I'm going to start running again soon.
Shall we keep this mirror? It'll look nice in the new house.
Yes, why not? Oh, don't forget we're meeting the estate agent at 4.
You go. I'll finish sorting out this stuff.
OK, see you later. Bye.
Bye, darling. Right, now let's see what I want to throw out. Those old records for a start. And those horrible running shoes. That broken tennis racket. But I'm definitely going to keep my old letters.
Recording 5.7. Gillian.
Well, I've been to IKEA, let me think, about 8 or 9 times. And I mean, you can't argue with the prices. Everything's, well, like everything so cheap compared to other places. But I'm not a fan of the place, I must admit. I love the things they sell, like it's, you know, it's good quality and well designed and all that. But I don't like shopping here. I'd prefer to have more personal service. You can never, you know, find There's never anyone to help, which I find kind of annoying. And, well, on a Saturday, the queues, they're enormous. You see, I haven't... I've got no patience at all, and I just sort of stand there and get angry. And putting the stuff together drives me crazy. All that time standing in the queue, and then you get home, start putting it together, and there are always, well, you know, bits missing. I mean, how frustrating is that?
Sue.
Well, IKEA's more like a supermarket than a department store. I mean, at IKEA you get your trolley or your big blue bag and away you go. You see, there aren't many assistants, so no one's, like, asking you if you want any help all the time. I hate that. I just kind of want people to let me walk around on my own. But I always seem to buy lots of little things, candles and glasses and plants, you know, stuff that I didn't actually plan to buy. But you can furnish an entire house in a day. In fact, we did, when we lived in Paris. Well, it wasn't a house, actually. We got, we rented an unfurnished flat and there was nothing in it, obviously. So we went to IKEA and bought loads of things and, you know, just took them home in the back of the car. We were able to put all the furniture together quite easily, and by the evening, we had a furnished flat. And everything was, like, really cheap. I mean, what more do you want from a store?
Recording 5.8. 1.
Are you looking for something?
Yes. I'm sorry. I've forgotten what it's called, but, it's a thing for opening bottles of wine.
Do you mean one of these?
Yes, that's it. What's it called?
A corkscrew.
Corkscrew. Thanks.
2.
Could you help me?
Sure. What do you need?
I'm sorry. I don't know the word for it. It's stuff for getting marks off your clothes.
Washing powder?
No. It's a type of liquid. You use it when you get coffee on your shirt.
Oh, you mean stain remover. It's over there, by the soap.
What's it called again?
Stain remover.
Thanks very much.
3.
Can I help you?
Yes, I hope so.
What are you looking for?
I can't remember what they're called. You use them to put posters up on the wall. They're made of metal and they've got a round top.
Oh, you mean drawing pins? Just a minute. These things.
Yes, that's right. What are they called again?
Drawing pins.
Yes. Can I have a box of those, please?
Sure. Anything else?
Nope, that's all. Thanks.
4.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'm looking for something for my mobile. I'm sorry, I don't know what it's called in English. It looks like a black box. You use it when the batteries are dead.
Is this what you're looking for?
Yes, that's right. What's it called in English?
A charger.
Right. A charger. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Recording 5.9.
I'm sorry, I've forgotten what it's called.
I'm sorry, I don't know the word for it.
I can't remember what they're called.
I don't know what it's called in English.
It's a thing for opening bottles of wine.
It's stuff for getting marks off your clothes.
You use them to put posters up on the wall.
I'm looking for something for my mobile.
You use it when the batteries are dead.
It's a type of liquid.
They're made of metal.
They've got a round top.
It looks like a black box.
Do you mean one of these?
Oh, you mean stain remover.
Is this what you're looking for?
Recording 5.10. Recording 6.1.
Hello?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Kate. How are things?
Oh, okay, I suppose. But being at home all the time is driving me crazy. Now the kids are all at school, I've been thinking about what to do with the rest of my life.
So, what choices do you have?
Well, I could just go back to work, you know, teaching French. But I'm thinking of going back to university instead.
Really? Wow!
But the trouble is, if I start teaching again, I'll be exhausted after a year. And then what?
What will you study if you go back to university?
Well, I'd like to do business studies. I've talked to a few universities, and I don't think it'll be a problem getting in.
Well, that's good. But you might have to wait until next year if you don't apply soon. It's already June.
Yes, I know.
What does Colin think?
Well, he thinks it's a good idea, but he's worried about how much it'll cost. We haven't got much spare money, you see. But unless I do it now, I'll be too old.
Well, have you asked Mum and Dad? I'm sure they'll help if they can.
Yes, that's a good idea. I'll give them a ring before they go on holiday.
I think you should do what will make you happiest.
Yes, you're probably right. As soon as I make up my mind, I'll let you know. Anyway, how are things with you?
Well, I'm trying to decide if I should leave my job and become a writer.
Are you serious? You want to stop being a doctor?
Yes, I think so. I might leave after I finish this contract.
But what about money?
Yes, that's a bit of a problem. I've got some savings, enough to last me 2 or 3 months.
Well, why don't you work part-time? Then you can earn some money and write on your days off.
Yes, maybe. That might work.
Have you told Mum and Dad about this?
No, not yet.
Right.
I won't tell them until I decide what to do. You know what they're like. But I think that's what I want to do.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
You laugh all you want. Just wait till I'm famous.
Anyway, how's it going with your new girlfriend? I thought she...
Recording 6.2.
I'll be exhausted after a year. If I start teaching again, I'll be exhausted after a year.
If you go back to university, what will you study if you go back to university?
I'll be too old. But unless I do it now, I'll be too old.
I'll let you know. As soon as I make up my mind, I'll let you know.
After I finish this contract? I might leave after I finish this contract.
Until I decide what to do. I won't tell them until I decide what to do.
Recording 6.3.
You worry about them all the time. If you have children, you worry about them all the time.
They become unfit. If children stay indoors all the time, they become unfit.
They shouldn't protect them so much. If parents want their kids to grow up healthy, they shouldn't protect them so much.
They can't learn to look after themselves. But if kids never go outside, they can't learn to look after themselves.
Give them back their freedom. If you want happy and healthy kids, give them back their freedom.
Recording 6.4.
If my kids go to a friend's house, they call me.
If my kids go to a friend's house, they'll call me.
Recording 6.5. 1.
If I don't know where my children are, I worry a lot. If I don't know where my children are, I worry a lot.
2.
If they don't do more exercise, they'll get fat. If they don't do more exercise, they'll get fat.
Three.
We'll pick up the kids if we have time. We'll pick up the kids if we have time.
Four.
If it's a nice day, I take them to the park. If it's a nice day, I take them to the park.
Five.
If they can't sleep, I'll read them a story. If they can't sleep, I'll read them a story.
Six.
They play computer games all day if they can. They play computer games all day if they can.
Recording 6.6.
Charlotte, are you very superstitious?
No, not really. Why do you ask?
I'm reading this absolutely fascinating book about the history of superstitions. Did you know that in the UK, people think that seeing a black cat is good luck, but in nearly every other country, it's bad luck? Don't you think that's strange?
Yes, I suppose so.
And do you know why breaking a mirror is 7 years bad luck?
No, why?
Well, the Romans believed that life started again every 7 years. If a mirror broke, then people thought the last person who looked at it was very ill and would continue to be ill for the next 7 years of their life. That is, until they got a new life.
OK, then. My uncle always carries a rabbit's foot around with him. Why is that lucky?
Hang on. Lucky charms are here somewhere. Yes, here it is. Rabbits were believed to help families grow their crops because they lived in the fields and had lots of babies. So they became a sign of fertility and therefore good luck.
Not so lucky for the rabbit, though. You know, having its foot cut off.
Yeah, true. So, what superstitions do you believe in?
Well, let me think. Oh, I touch wood, but everyone does that, don't they?
Ah, that's an interesting one. According to this book, thousands of years ago, people believed that good spirits lived in the trees and that touching wood called on these spirits and protected people from danger.
That's interesting. I also do that thing with salt, you know, throw it over my shoulder. I've no idea why, though.
Ah, that's in here too. Yes, here it is. Apparently, hundreds of years ago, salt used to be very expensive and valuable and was mainly used as a medicine. So, spilling it was a really bad thing to do. You throw it over your left shoulder, or the right one if you live in Argentina and Italy, into the faces of the evil spirits behind you to stop them hurting you.
Sounds like an interesting book.
Yes, it is. You can borrow it when I've finished, if you like.
Oh, yes, please. Thanks a lot.
Recording 6.7.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's meeting. Perhaps we can start by all introducing ourselves. My name's Sarah Clark from the Local Government Planning Department, and I'm chairing today's meeting.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Jim Matthews from the Avon and Somerset Police Force.
Hi, my name's Terry Gibson from the UK Party Network. We organise gigs and festivals all over the country.
And I'm Mrs. Felicity Richards. I live in Coleford, which, as you know, is very near the suggested site of the festival.
Hello, I'm Paul Davidson and I'm a local farmer.
Thank you all very much. As you all know, we're here to discuss the UK Party Network's application for a music festival on Paul Davidson's farm near the village of Coleford. Right, Mr. Gibson, perhaps you would like to start by telling us a bit more about the festival.
Recording 6.8.
Telling us a bit more about the festival.
Please, call me Terry. Well, we're planning to put on a 3-day festival at Mr. Davidson's farm on the last weekend in August. We're hoping to have a capacity of 30,000 people, and there will be
Sorry, do you mind if I interrupt?
Sure, go ahead.
Did you say 30,000 people?
Yes, that's right.
Well, how do you expect our little village to cope with that many people? It seems to me that you haven't thought about local residents at all.
Oh, that's not true, actually, Felicity.
Mrs. Richards.
Sorry, Mrs. Richards. We've been running festivals for over 10 years, and we've always had a very good relationship with local residents. This festival will bring thousands of people to the area, which will help local businesses and provide jobs for local people.
Well, I'm not sure about that. The people who go to these festivals aren't the kind of people we want in our village. It seems to me that the only thing you care about is...
Can I just say something here?
If I could just finish making this point. The only thing you people care about is making money. You don't care about local residents at all.
Paul, you had something you wanted to say.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to point out that my farm is over 4 miles from Coleford, so most of the festival goers won't pass through the village at all. You'll never know it's happening.
What's your opinion, Sergeant?
I'm not sure I agree, actually. Not many people will pass through the village, that's true, but residents will definitely know there's a festival because of the noise.
Yes, absolutely.
But the noise won't be a problem, I promise you. The live music stops...
Won't be a problem? But
can I just finish what I was saying?
Yes, of course.
The live music will stop at midnight, and after that it'll be very quiet, I promise you.
Can I make a point here?
Yes, of course.
Don't forget there's a hill between Coleford and the farm, so that will stop a lot of the noise.
That may be true, but what about all the cars? Surely the traffic will be a big problem.
Yes, I'd agree with that. The roads around here aren't really big enough for that amount of traffic. That's what worries me most about this idea, to be honest. And there's also the problem of security. We might not have enough police to deal with this festival.
What do you think, Mr. Gibson?
Well, we will be providing our own security staff to check tickets and...
Recording 6.9.
You had something you wanted to say.
What's your opinion?
What do you think?
That may be true, but what about...
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
That's not true, actually.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure I agree, actually.
Sorry, do you mind if I interrupt?
Can I just say something here?
Can I make a point here?
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, of course.
Can I just finish what I was saying?
If I could just finish making this point.
Recording 6.10. 1. A.
What are you doing on Saturday night, Jill? You usually go clubbing, don't you?
Yes, I do. But unfortunately, I've hurt my foot, so that's no good. I should really tidy up the flat. But I think I'm going to have a quiet night in and watch an old film instead.
B.
Have you found a new place to live yet, Steve?
We're still looking, actually. My wife fell in love with an old cottage we saw last week. It was gorgeous, but it needed a lot of repairs. Then this morning we saw a terraced house, which was tiny but in a good neighbourhood, and a larger semi-detached house in the suburbs. I preferred the smaller one, I think.
C.
I don't know what to get Mum for her birthday. I was thinking of buying her some perfume. What do you think?
Well, she loves things that smell nice, but isn't that what you always get her?
I suppose it is. I saw a lovely cat in the market made of wood that she might like. Or there was also a really nice corkscrew that looked easy to use.
That sounds good. You know how she likes practical things.
Right. I'll get that then.
D.
Tim, can you give me a hand making dinner?
OK. What do you want me to do?
First, can you get some vegetables out of the fridge?
There are a couple of aubergines. I love those.
Yes, I know, but they'll take too long to cook. Are there any peppers?
Oh, yes. There are some here at the back.
They'll be fine then, thanks.
And what about these courgettes?
Let's keep those to have with the roast lamb tomorrow.
Two.
Hi there and welcome to the programme. Firstly, let me give you some information I've just received about the Beddington Bridge Music Festival, which takes place every year. Regular fans will remember that the festival happens over the third weekend of August, Friday to Sunday, near the village of Beddington. This year, though, it's going to start on the Thursday, which will give people the chance to have even more fun. There's a range of tickets to suit everyone, from one-day visitors to people who want to stay for the whole long weekend. You should book early because tickets are 30% off until the 30th of June. From the 1st of July until the festival starts on the 22nd of August, it will be full-price tickets only. This is a family-friendly event, so children under 16 are allowed in for half price, and children below the age of 12 can go in free. Most festival-goers camp in the fields on the festival site, although there's some accommodation available in the nearby villages. Rooms tend to be quite expensive during festival time, though, costing at least £50 per person. If you're driving there, there's a parking fee of £27 per car, or £35 if you have a van, for however long you stay. You can also get there easily by public transport. The nearest station is about 4 miles away. Oh, and motorbikes can park for free. Hot and cold food and drink are available on the festival site, of course. And don't forget, you can also get fantastic home-cooked breakfasts in the main square in the village. Anyway, for more information, check out the website, which is www.beddingtonfestival.com.
Recording 7.1.
I was able to learn this very quickly.
I'm still useless at doing these things.
I could do these things after I read the instructions.
I haven't got a clue how to do this.
I usually manage to find what I want.
I'm quite good at doing this.
I have no idea how to do this.
I find this quite easy to do.
I think I know how to do this.
I'm able to use most new stuff.
I find it difficult to use anything new.
I'm no good at using new stuff.
Recording 7.2.
When my father, Bill, retired a year ago, he bought himself his first ever computer. At the time, he had no idea how to use a computer and didn't even know how to save a document. He couldn't type very fast, and he didn't have a clue how to go online. So he started going to evening classes, and after a few lessons, he was able to send emails and search for things on the internet. He even managed to create his own web page. His friends realised that he was good at working with computers and started asking him for help. He found it quite easy to sort out their problems and decided to start teaching retired people basic computer skills. Now he's working harder than he used to before he retired.
Recording 7.3.
I came here to work for a multinational company about 10 years ago, and I've been here ever since. I love living here, but it can get really hot in the summer months, and I'm no good at all in that kind of weather. Which is why air conditioning is so important here. I know for sure if we didn't have it in the office, I wouldn't get much work done. I just don't know how people managed to do anything here before it was invented. And if we didn't have it at home, I wouldn't get any sleep at all.
I like straight hair, but mine is really curly and I hate it. So after I wash my hair, I always have to use these hair straighteners. I'd never leave the house if I didn't have these. Well, would you go out in public if you look like a clown? I've had these straighteners for a couple of years now. They're okay, but they're not as good as my friend Jane's. But the really good ones are quite expensive. Still, I've got my birthday coming up next month, and Mum says if she has enough money, she'll get me some new ones.
I've got absolutely no sense of direction, and I'm hopeless at finding my way around. My brother-in-law's got a new car, and it's got a GPS, and it's just amazing. If my car had one, life would be so much easier. I'd probably never get lost again in my life. I'd get one tomorrow if I had enough money, that's for sure. But they're still quite expensive at the moment, so I'll have to wait until they come down in price. But, you know, I spend so much on petrol because I get lost all the time. It might be cheaper to buy one now.
Recording 7.4.
If I didn't have these, I'd never leave the house if I didn't have these.
Life would be so much easier. If my car had one, life would be so much easier.
I wouldn't get much work done. If we didn't have it in the office, I wouldn't get much work done.
If I had enough money, I'd get one tomorrow if I had enough money.
I wouldn't get any sleep at all. If we didn't have it at home, I wouldn't get any sleep at all.
If you looked like a clown, would you go out in public if you looked like a clown?
Recording 7.5.
If I have some free time, I'll help you.
If I had some free time, I'd help you.
Recording 7.6. 1.
If he calls, I'll let you know. If he called, I'd let you know.
2.
It'd make life easier if we got one of these. It'll make life easier if we get one of these.
3.
If they worked harder, they'd pass their exams. If they work harder, they'll pass their exams.
4.
You'll enjoy it if you read it. You'd enjoy it if you read it.
5.
I'd buy a new TV if I had enough money. I'll buy a new TV if I have enough money.
6.
If they need a computer, they'll buy one. If they needed a computer, they'd buy one.
7.7. 1.
Oh dear. I'll never finish this report by 5 o'clock.
Sorry. I'd help you if I didn't have all this work to do. Have you asked Megan?
I couldn't find her.
Well, if I see her, I'll tell her to call you. 2.
How do I get to your sister's place again?
Surely you know the way by now.
I wouldn't ask if I knew.
Well, if I didn't have to go to work, I'd take you myself. But I've got meetings all day.
Don't worry. If you just write the directions down for me, I'll be fine.
7.8.
These days, computer viruses are part of everyday life. But as early as 1940, a man called John von Neumann predicted that computer programs would be able to make copies of themselves, and he was right. This ability has meant that people have been able to create viruses which can travel from computer to computer. As we all know, computer viruses can cause a huge amount of damage. But what's the history of these viruses, and what kind of people write them? The word virus was first used by a computer scientist called Frederick Cohen in 1983. He noticed that a computer virus travels from computer to computer in the same way as a flu virus travels from person to person. The first virus to travel from PC to PC was called Brain in 1986. Its creators, Bassett and Amjad Alvi, owned a computer store called Brain Computer Services in Pakistan. They created the virus so they could find out how many people were stealing their software and were amazed when their virus spread all over the world and became international news. Fortunately, Brain didn't do any damage and was easy to remove. But later viruses were much more dangerous. The famous Melissa and Lovebug viruses, for example, made headline news in 1999 and 2000 and caused enormous problems for computer systems everywhere. And in 2004, an 18-year-old from Germany, Sven Jaschen, created a virus called the Sasser worm, which he wrote in his bedroom on a homemade computer. It caused tens of millions of computers to crash all around the world and affected banks, airlines, hospitals and government buildings worldwide. The Sasser worm was particularly dangerous because it could infect any computer online and didn't need to travel via email, unlike earlier viruses. Of course, viruses aren't the only thing computer users have to worry about. Trojan horses, for example, are often attached to software that you can download from the internet, such as computer games. When you open the software, the Trojan horse loads itself onto your hard disk. It can then allow other people to access your computer without you knowing about it, for example, to steal your passwords and credit card details, or to send junk emails. So what do we know about the young men who write these viruses, people like Sven Jaschen? Well, it seems that most of them are people who...
7.9.
Are.
As. Us.
That. That.
Was. Was.
Were. Were.
Has. Has.
Have. Have.
From. From.
7.10. David L. Smith.
David L. Smith created the Melissa virus in 1999 while he was working for a company in New Jersey in the USA. The American computer programmer named the virus after a dancer he knew while he was living in Miami, Florida. At that time, Melissa was the worst virus there had ever been, and it crashed email systems around the world, including those at Microsoft and Intel. The way the virus worked was simple. As soon as it infected a computer, it forwarded itself to the first 50 email addresses in the computer's address book. Because people thought that the emails were from friends or colleagues, they opened them immediately, which allowed the virus to infect their computers. The Melissa virus cost businesses more than $80 million in North America alone, mostly in lost work time. However, because Smith helped the police catch other virus writers, he was only sent to prison for 20 months.
Onel de Guzman.
In May 2000, Onel de Guzman, a student from the Philippines, was arrested for creating the most famous virus in history while he was studying computing at university. The Lovebug virus came as an email attachment which said, "I love you." People thought the attachment was a love letter, so they immediately opened it. The virus sent itself to everyone in their address book and then deleted important files on the computer's hard disk. Even when people thought they had got rid of the virus, it was clever enough to sit waiting in an unopened file. The virus spread around the world extremely quickly, and after only one day, about 45 million computers were infected. Lovebug did a lot of damage to businesses in Asia, Europe and the USA, and cost them over $10 billion. Fortunately for him, Onel de Guzman wasn't sent to prison, because at that time there were no laws in the Philippines for computer crime.
Recording 7.11. 1.
Come on, you stupid machine. What's wrong with you?
Well, hello, Carol. How was the trip?
Oh, hello, Simon. It went very well, thank you. Some new contracts, I think.
Oh, good. Don't forget, we've got a meeting with our new German clients tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, don't worry, I hadn't forgotten.
Do you know if we asked Alex Ross to come? He knows a lot about the German market and should be there, I think.
I'll call him and check.
Fine. Oh, by the way, we've got a new computer expert. His name's Ken Baxter.
Right.
Yes, he put in a new email system while you were away.
Oh, so that's why I can't log on. Do you think he's changed the password?
No, your old one should still work.
Well, it doesn't seem to.
Well, I'd give Ken a ring. I'm sure he can fix it.
Right. Can you tell me what his number is?
It's on the side of the computer.
Oh, yes, thanks.
Hello, IT, can I help you?
Oh, hello. Can I speak to Ken Baxter, please?
He's not here, I'm afraid. He went out about an hour ago.
Have you any idea where he's gone?
Yes, he went to meet an estate agent. He's trying to buy a house.
Oh, dear. Could you tell me whether he'll be back soon?
He said he'd be back around 3.
Okay, thanks. I'll call again then. Bye. What was wrong with the old system anyway?
2.
Oh, hi, darling. Sorry I'm so late. Had a few problems at the office.
Don't worry. I'm glad you're back. I need your help.
Where's Tim?
He's gone out.
Where's he gone?
To the cinema with some friends. He said you knew about it.
Oh, yes, I remember. Will he be back soon?
He said he'd be home by 9.
Right. What are you doing?
I wanted to finish sending out those party invitations. But I can't get into Tim's laptop. Has he changed the password?
Yes. Now it's keep out. All one word.
Very funny. Okay, that works. Right, about this party. I thought we could go through the address book and see who we haven't invited yet.
Good idea. Who's first?
Right. Did we ask Alex Ross to come? You know, your friend from work.
Yes, I think so. Oh, no. I forgot to call him about a meeting tomorrow. What's his number?
Hang on. It's 020-8244-5690.
All right. I'll be back in a minute. Sorry.
Oh, well. At least we made a start.
Recording 7.12. 1. A.
Could you tell me whether he'll be back soon?
B.
Could you tell me whether he'll be back soon?
2. A.
Do you know if we asked Alex Ross to come?
B.
Do you know if we asked Alex Ross to come?
3. A.
Have you any idea where he's gone?
B.
Have you any idea where he's gone?
4. A.
Can you tell me what his number is?
B.
Can you tell me what his number is?
5. A.
Do you think he's changed the password?
B.
Do you think he's changed the password?
Recording 7.13.
Could you tell me whether he'll be back soon? Do you know if we asked Alex Ross to come?
Have you any idea where he's gone?
Can you tell me what his number is?
Do you think he's changed the password?
Recording 8.1.
Heat from the sun is held in the Earth's atmosphere.
More and more heat is being kept in the atmosphere.
More extreme weather conditions have been caused by climate change.
New Orleans was hit by a huge hurricane in 2005.
More and more places are going to be affected by climate change.
Many towns and villages near the coast will be flooded.
Many other useful tips can be found on public information websites.
Recording 8.2.
The Earth is hit by lightning 8.6 million times a day. Scientists say there's a 1 in 3 million chance you will be hit by lightning, but that depends on how much time you spend outdoors. Roy Sullivan, a park ranger from Virginia, USA, was hit by lightning 7 times in his lifetime. On different occasions, he lost his toenails, hair, and eyebrows. The final lightning strike happened while he was fishing, and he was taken to hospital with chest and stomach burns.
Recording 8.3.
Hi, James.
Hello, Val. Hi, Pete. Come in.
Hi.
Ready to go?
Not quite. Do you want a coffee? I've just put the kettle on.
Oh, yeah, sure. You get ready. We'll make it.
Okay. Oh, there's a bit of pasta there too, if you're hungry.
No thanks. We've just eaten. Well, I found some coffee, but there's no sugar.
There's some in that jar by the toaster.
Oh, yes.
Hmm. There's enough milk for 2 cups, but not enough for 3, I don't think.
Oh, it's okay. I'll have it black.
Can someone feed the cat? There are plenty of tins of cat food in the cupboard.
Sure. Oh, here you go, Kitty. James,
Where's your recycling box?
I haven't got one. Why?
Oh, everyone should have a recycling box. Too much rubbish is just thrown away when a lot of it could be recycled.
Oh dear, you're probably right. I never recycle anything, I'm sorry to say.
Well, you're not the only one. Hardly any stuff is recycled in this country. Did you know that Germany recycles over 50% of its rubbish?
Oh.
But in the UK, it's only about 15%.
That's not much, is it?
No. And there aren't enough recycling bins in this country. With stuff like glass, for example, we only recycle 25%. But in Switzerland, they recycle about 90%.
Yes, I see what you mean. I hadn't really thought about it.
Well, it's never too late to start. And there's a lot of stuff in your bin that could be recycled.
Oh.
Look, there's loads of paper and several plastic bottles. The bottles can be made into supermarket bags, and the paper can be made into toilet paper.
Ah.
And, these empty cat food tins can be recycled, and the metal could be used for making fridge parts.
Oh, wow, you know a lot about all this.
Yes. Well, there's plenty of information on it these days, isn't there? But it's hard changing people's habits in this country. People are naturally lazy, I think.
Yes. Too many people just don't bother. But the government should do more too. In Germany, people have to recycle their rubbish. It's the law.
Oh.
They should do that here too, I think.
Yes, I suppose you're right. I've only got a few friends who recycle things. But in the future, I'll try to recycle what I can.
Come on, we're late.
Oh, let me get my coat. Won't be a second.
Ah, we made a little progress there.
Recording 8.4.
I think there's a bit of milk in the fridge. I think there's a bit of milk in the fridge.
We haven't got enough bags of crisps. We haven't got enough bags of crisps.
There's hardly any food in the cupboard. There's hardly any food in the cupboard.
He's got a lot of tins of cat food. He's got a lot of tins of cat food.
We need to get a few packets of biscuits. We need to get a few packets of biscuits.
There's lots of coffee and plenty of cups. There's lots of coffee and plenty of cups.
Recording 8.5.
I think there's a bit of milk in the fridge.
We haven't got enough bags of crisps.
There's hardly any food in the cupboard.
He's got a lot of tins of cat food.
We need to get a few packets of biscuits.
There's lots of coffee and plenty of cups.
Recording 8.6.
A British tourist has been attacked by a shark off the coast of Texas, making it the 8th shark attack in the USA this year. We now go over live to Freeport for a special report from our North American correspondent, Andrew Evans. Andrew, I understand the man didn't do anything unusual to cause this attack.
Yes, that's right, Beverly. Mark Skipper, a 47-year-old man from Oxford, was just swimming on his own quite close to the beach when he was attacked.
How badly was he hurt?
Well, we don't have much information yet, but we know his leg was bitten quite badly. He was immediately taken to hospital and we're waiting to hear how he is.
So, Andrew, why are the sharks coming in so close?
Well, Ryan Williamson, who works for the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, believes that the increase in shark attacks is because of what they call dead zones. These are areas in the ocean where there isn't enough oxygen, so all the fish die.
So there aren't any fish for the sharks to eat?
Exactly. Many of these dead zones are actually quite close to the coast, so the sharks come in closer and closer looking for food.
So what turns an area of the ocean into a dead zone?
I'm afraid it's us, Beverly, people. There's too much pollution in the sea, and it's killing all the fish. And these dead zones cover fairly large areas. The one we're talking about here, for example, covers about 5,800 square miles.
And are these dead zones only around the US coast?
No, they're not. According to the United Nations, there are about 150 dead zones around the world. That's twice as many as there were 15 years ago. The largest ones are in the oceans and seas around China, Japan, South America, Australia, and New Zealand. And the number of shark attacks has increased in all of those places.
So is the Wildlife Department in Texas now saying that people shouldn't go swimming?
No, they aren't telling people to stay out of the water, but they've advised holidaymakers not to go swimming early in the morning or in the evening, because those are the times when sharks feed.
Thank you, Andrew Evans, for that report.
Recording 8.7. 1.
You obviously know this area well. Could you give us some advice?
Well, if I were you, I'd take plenty of warm clothes. The weather can turn bad very quickly.
Yes, we've got enough, I think.
And don't forget to check the weather forecast before you set off.
Yes, we will. Anything else we should know?
Yes, watch out for bears.
Right. What should we do if we see one?
Make yourself look as big as possible. Open your coat, stand on your toes, anything to make yourself look bigger. With any luck, it'll leave you alone.
I hope so.
And be careful when you're crossing rivers. They can be quite dangerous. Which reminds me, it's a good idea to take a spare map in case you lose one.
That's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that.
The last bit of advice, stay together at all times.
2.
Your car's over there, and here are the keys.
Oh, thanks a lot.
No worries. Is this your first trip to the Outback?
Yes, it is actually.
Well, whatever you do, don't leave without telling people where you're going.
Oh, good idea. I hadn't thought of that.
And don't forget to tell them when you expect to be back.
Right. And what do you think we should take with us?
Well, make sure you take plenty of water. You'll need it out there. And of course you'll need your own food, sun cream, a hat, and a spare can of petrol.
Right. That's really useful, thanks. And do you think it's a good idea to take some warm clothes? I hear it can get cold at night.
Yes, that's always a good idea. Oh, and watch out for kangaroos, particularly when it starts to get dark. They move around a lot in the evening and you might hit one. The big ones can cause a lot of damage to your car. I mean my car.
Right. Thanks. That's very helpful. See you next week.
3.
Right. This is your first open water dive, so be careful. Remember, whatever you do, don't lose your partner. Stay together at all times and watch out for sharks.
What should we do if we see one?
Just stay calm. Most of them are harmless. And remember, sharks underwater look a lot bigger than they really are. So if you see one, don't worry. It'll probably just swim past you.
And if it doesn't?
Well, just swim away and come back up. But remember, don't come up too quickly or else you could be in trouble.
Right. Okay.
Okay, we've got 40 minutes bottom time. Don't forget to check your air every 2 minutes. And if you start to shiver, that's a bad sign because it means you've lost too much body heat. So if that happens, you'd better come up immediately. Okay, ready everyone?
Ready?
Yeah. Let's go.
Right, let's have some fun. In we go.
Recording 8.8.
Could you give us some advice?
What should we do if we see one?
What do you think we should take with us?
Do you think it's a good idea to take some warm clothes?
If I were you, I'd take plenty of warm clothes.
It's a good idea to take a spare map in case you lose one.
Don't forget to tell them when you expect to be back.
Make sure you take plenty of water.
You'd better come up immediately.
Watch out for bears.
Be careful when you're crossing rivers.
Whatever you do, don't lose your partner.
Don't come up too quickly, or else you could be in trouble.
Yes, we will.
That's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that.
That's really useful, thanks.
Right, thanks. That's very helpful.
Recording 8.9.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bare, gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather just can't get my poor self together. I'm weary all the time, the time. So weary all the time. When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he stays away, old rocking chair will get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. Can't go on. Everything I had is gone. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Keeps raining all the time. When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he stays away, old rocking chair will get me. All I do is pray the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. Can't go on. Everything I had is gone. Stormy weather Since my man and I ain't together, keeps raining all the time. Keeps raining.
Recording 9.1.
Can giving up food really improve your health? Joanne Fullerton spent a week at a retreat centre to find out.
When I arrived at the Just Juice Retreat Centre, I was feeling a bit nervous. I was going to do a 7-day fast, drinking only fresh organic fruit and vegetable juices. I'm the type of person that eats 3 meals a day and can't wake up without a cappuccino. So the idea of living on juice for a week was rather terrifying. After checking in, I was taken to the guest house where everyone was staying. Louise, the person who I was sharing with, had done the retreat 4 times, and she looked healthier than anyone I'd ever met. According to Rachel Carr-Hill, the woman whose fasting programme we were following, going without food is one of the best things we can do for our health. The food that we usually eat contains toxins which stay in our bodies and stop our digestive system working properly. When we fast, our body doesn't have to digest food, so it has time to get rid of these toxins. The first day started with yoga at 7 o'clock, and then we had breakfast, a big glass of carrot juice. We spent the day listening to talks about health, having massages and relaxing, with a different juice meal every 3 hours. On the second day, I had an awful headache and felt as if I was getting a cold. Apparently, this was a normal reaction because my body was starting to get rid of the toxins. On day 3, my headache was much worse, and this was also when I started getting really hungry. I began daydreaming about cheeseburgers, pasta, chocolate, anything but more juice. However, by day 5, the hunger had gone, and I felt more relaxed than I'd been for years. At the end of the retreat, I'd lost 3 kilos and felt like a new woman. Now I'm much more careful about what I eat, but I still need my morning cappuccinos.